We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody.
What up? What up? What up?
My name is Tim Daniel. His name is Ben Brown. And welcome to this week's edition of Late Night Reds here on the Riverfront. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Happy Selection Sunday. Hope you celebrated Stone Cold Steve Austin weekend like we all did with the cold ones.
That's kind of crazy how that's kind of taken off, dude. Like,
yeah,
like it's really like a national holiday. People really celebrate it.
What?
I had one beer. What?
Two beers.
What?
It's beautiful. Well, hey, man, it's a lot of fun. Yes, I'm back this week, as we sell. So thank you to Nate Dotson, who filled in for me while I was suspended for making fun of him for being bald. So Nate and Ben held it down last week while I was gone. It was definitely appreciated. It was a fun episode. I thought you guys did really well.
Yeah, man, it was. It's always cool to chop it up with Nate, man. It was cool because we don't get a chance to talk to each other a whole lot as far as outside of, you know, social media, Slack and text. So to be able to sit there and see him and be able to chat and kick it. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I was listening while I was doing stuff around the house. So I definitely appreciated that. So we're going to try to bring the energy back this week. I guess it's not going to be fun energy to start the show because we got hit with the news this week that TJ Friedel has a non-displaced fracture in his right wrist. From what Mark Sheldon said today, it looks like he will be checked on in about 3 to 4 weeks to see where progress is. And the word of the day is crap. So, yeah. You know, the thing we were all talking about all offseason was like this Reds depth thing, right? Except for some reason, you know, outfield wasn't a thing that was really approached. It was like, well, Jonathan is going to play in the outfield and Christian Acosta is going to play in the outfield and they have Stuart Fairchild. And it was like, oh, okay. Sure. But I think the big question a lot of us had was, okay, what happens if TJ Friedel gets hurt? Who plays center field? And so now we are facing that dilemma of what happens without TJ Friedel. So not only are you losing your center fielder, you're losing your leadoff hitter. That sucks if they kind of go with the same lineup as last year. So let's kind of go both accounts here. I think if you look at the situation where it gets right-handers, I think that you're probably thinking of a situation where like Will Benson probably plays center field. Yeah. And then maybe against lefty Stuart Fairchild. And then leadoff hitter wise is really fascinating because last year, obviously, they tried out Ellie.
Who are you thinking? Yeah, I was going to say.
And Ellie wasn't like super comfortable there. Will Benson was great hitting at the bottom of the order, but I could see a situation where he gets a shot. Matt McClain obviously is a guy I could see getting shot. Spencer Steer, I could see getting that opportunity just as a guy who consistently gets on base. There's a lot of options on there as far as the leadoff hitter spot. Not a lot of options as far as who's playing center field.
No, and that's the thing. I think we discussed this last week. You know, we know Will Benson is athletic enough to play it, and we know that he is capable of playing it. But at a time where you're trying to get everybody familiar and comfortable with their positions, you hate to see something like this happen because, you know, Friedel was on the cusp of being a gold glover out there, and he's our leadoff hitter. And to see that happen in a spring training game, and I saw somebody, and I don't know who it was because I really didn't pay much mind to it, but I saw somebody post, oh, I wish you wouldn't dive in spring training games. Dude, you can't turn that stuff off. Like, that's not something you turn off. Like, that guy plays the way he plays, and he's made – you know, he's made his career and his living that way. You're not going to turn that off in spring training. So to see him go after a ball, does it suck? Yeah, absolutely it sucks because he's our center fielder. He's our leadoff guy. But, you know, I think that's kind of where the depth of having a Jonathan India and a Stuart Fairchild kind of comes into play. Because honestly, I mean, if you play India, he definitely could lead off for you. I think he could be a leadoff guy. Yeah. And I think that if you needed him to, he could play left field or play right field and put Benson in the center. I know it gets a little dicey.
Right field with his arm makes me nervous.
I know. It gets dicey. But you almost got to think kind of outside of the box here because
you do
uncharted territory. You know, it's not something that you expect that your center fielder is going to get hurt. You know, and you're a couple weeks away from starting your season. So I think it's one of those things where you've got to kind of look at all different aspects. I know in batting-wise, I think India could do it. You know, I do worry a little bit about his arm. And also, too, you know, he hasn't had a whole lot of time out there. It's a different position. It's a different scenario.
Yeah.
And you're asking a guy that's played pretty much the infield his whole career to try to be a stand-in outfielder for a guy that, well, I mean, he'd be going over for Benson. But even if he were to play center, like, you're asking him to stand in for a guy that's a gold glove center fielder. I mean, that's
right.
Hard to do. That's a lot of pressure. Not saying that he's not a professional and not saying that he wouldn't work on it and try to get better at it. But, geez, oh, Pete, it's a lot. It's a lot. I mean, because you're already moving a guy in Spencer Steer who's now finally going to get the opportunity to be a little bit more left. And now you don't have your center fielder. I mean, Will Benz is pretty much the only guy that you have out there that's has some consistency in the outfield. So it's a whole ball of wax for the Reds right now. You know, and you hate to see it in spring training. But I will say this, the depth that they have, and the depth and younger guys that they have, I mean, they could do anything. I mean, they can move guys up, they can move guys around. I mean, it sucks, yeah, because Friedel was that dude, but also too, I think we've got enough depth to be able to try to figure it out.
Yeah, just to put in context, Will Benson is playing center field tonight in the game in the St. Patrick's Day game against the Guardians. He started, I should say, there. He's actually looks like he hasn't been taken out, if I'm looking at the box score correctly. He's the one guy who hasn't. So I guess he's I think we might have our answer potentially.
Right. Yeah. Early. I mean, yeah. Listen, if you're going to get reps, you might as well get reps now.
Right.
Yeah. They're like, hey, everybody, slumber out. Go ahead and take your break. No, whoa, hold on for a second. You're going to stay in there for a little bit.
It's like in like NFL games when the team's up like four touchdowns in the fourth mm-hmm. quarter and everyone gets pulled but the center.
Except the center.
Yeah, the center's like still snapping, guys.
I'm still here.
Yeah. So you bring up good points in the sense of I will say I don't love India right field idea, but I do understand the thinking outside the box. It's a great point. I mean, he's really thrived as a leadoff hitter, and I know a lot of people think that's an overrated thing to look into as far as like order where you hit in the lineup, but it works for him and it has worked in the past. So he's been better there than he's been anywhere else in the lineup where he's been hitting. So that's definitely an option, especially as a DH, as a left fielder, as a first baseman, whatever route they go mm-hmm. there.
Fraley out there in right tonight. So, I mean, they went India, Benson, Fraley. I mean, that's what they were tonight. So, I mean, I think anything is possible.
Yeah, anything is possible. And then let me see what else. What was the infield tonight? It was McLean, Ellie, obviously.
Ellie, yep.
Spencer Steer was DHing. Mm-hmm. PJ Higgins was playing first base, and Jaimer Candelario was playing third. Mm-hmm. And then Christian Carcio and Strand played first too. So, all right, cool. Do you think we should call our good friend Paul, since he's working at the White Sox now, and see if maybe they might ship like Lou Bob over now, and maybe like he can do it together?
Maybe let's see if we can work something out. You know what I mean? Let's see if we can make something happen.
Hey, Paul, I know you guys just trade a deal in space for nothing. Could we interest you in maybe a certain third string catcher? No?
Maybe.
Alfredo Duda apparently hit a bomb today in the prospects game.
Yeah.
We didn't get to watch it, but it happened. Yeah,
we didn't get to see it, but I definitely saw that on Twitter before I got on. It actually says he's had a really good spring. So
I have only seen so little of him, obviously really good with where I was playing and what all, and I don't watch minor league games as much as I should. I know that's bad of me. Dude, like I'm pretty impressed with him for sure. So Pat Magooch brings up, dropping Barrera seems extremely dumb and short-sighted now. Yeah, I think you can look at it that way, but I don't think that anyone thought this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think the Barrera thing was kind of a concern in the sense of, you know, how many right field and outfielders do they have because of Fairchild, because of, you know, those guys like that. Josh, great point right here. Let's look at who played center field last year. TJ Friedl, Nick Senzel, Jose Barrero, and Harrison Bader. Yeah. So
yeah.
I think Will Benson may have gotten a game or two in center field last year. I don't have the positions in front of me. But yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily been a super strength for the Reds for defensively, probably not since, well, Billy. Obviously, Billy was great. I was going to say since Drew, but that wouldn't be fair to Billy. But offensively, probably since Chu. I mean,
probably.
Yeah, the leadoff spot, like from Chu to where they are now, obviously, has always been very questionable till Friedl mm-hmm. as well. So it's not great. It's a team that now, with the Noelvi Marte suspension, mm-hmm. that depth is getting challenged early. And obviously, the Marte part's a little bit more difficult than the Friedl, hopefully. Hopefully mm-hmm. the Friedl thing is not 80 games or so.
Yeah.
But I think if I'm like a Jay Allen or a Hector Rodriguez or guys like that, you know, it's a long shot. I'm going to make the big league roster, but I'm going to show them why I should be there. Yep. And Jay Allen's had a pretty decent spring from what I understand. Hector Rodriguez, that's my dude. I'm very excited about his future. Do I think those guys are going to get their shot? No, I'm not saying that by any stretch of the matter.
Right.
But there's like, you know, like you said, like you have to kind of exhaust all your options. I do think it's not coincidental that Will Benson was not pulled from a spring training game today playing center field. I will go ahead and say that. Let's just hope the best for TJ. This team certainly needs him. Let's go over real quick. And I think if you've been listening to us, the theme is for these couple weeks during spring training, the theme is when things are going great, spring training stats matter. When things are not, don't worry about it. It's just spring training. Right.
It's just spring training.
Yeah, so we're talking about Frankie Montas a little bit. Numbers haven't been great. Outings haven't mm-hmm. been super exciting. A little bit of a nerve-wracking situation there. Again, don't really care what his ERA says, 9.39. I do care at how many innings he's pitched. He has, in 7 2/3 innings he's pitched so far, he has 5 strikeouts. That's a little head scratching. I'm not at the point where I'm calling him a bust by any stretch, or that I think that we should, you know, they should rethink opening day, because I think opening day is more of an honor, like being the opening day starter is more of an honor than it is a strategy. And yeah, so, I still think it's a good signing. I still think he's a good player. I think he's gonna have a good year. It may take him a few weeks because he pitched an inning last year for the Yankees, like we've talked about quite a bit. I hate that he's wearing 47. That should only belong to one man and one man only, and that's Mr. Johnny Cueto. But that's neither here nor there. So I ask you, he's taking the ball tomorrow against the Giants.
Yeah.
Are you worried?
The Giants are. That's who he saw a couple days ago. He did not look great.
Was that like the 9 home run spring training game?
Yeah. It was insane. 19-11. I'm not going to hit the panic button yet. I think that he's a guy. Like I said, he's got enough big league experience to know, how to work spring training. You know what I mean? So I would assume that there's a way. It's kind of like NFL preseason games, right?
Yeah.
You're going to do some things that are unconventional because you're trying to work on stuff. You're going to do some things that, you know, you're not going to run all your good plays because, because you don't want to show stuff. You're not going to throw your whole playbook at people. So I would assume baseball spring training is the same way. I would assume that they get scouting reports, but you're not going to see a lot of these guys that you're going to see in spring training that you see. So you're pretty much going up there with a blind eye. When you get into the season, you've got hours upon hours of film. You've got heat zones. You've got the umpire, so you know where his strike zone is. You know where that's working. There are so many different little intricacies and different things that go on in a regular season game that you probably don't have the knowledge of in a spring training game. So a lot of those times, you're just trying to throw strikes, you're pumping fastballs, you're doing whatever you need to do. And guys are getting hits and guys are getting home runs and things like that. So I'm not really worried about it because I think that the regular season Frankie Montas will be a lot different. Because I think that he's put in the time and the work and has that experience in order for him to have success. And I think that those guys as a whole, as a unit, that pitching staff, I think they will have that, work going into the season. Worrying about the spring training as far as his, pitch count, innings, strikeouts, stuff like that, not too concerned about it because I don't think that they were getting everything that they have access to, that they will have access to in the season. So I kind of take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah. And that's how you should take it. I think if you look at the fact that he's not really necessarily gotten stretched out, it's been a lot of spring training games are a lot of 2 innings. I assume that tomorrow he probably gets to go a little longer if things are going okay. Yeah. Since he won't pitch again likely until opening day, since we're in the last week.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. Cause I do think that may be his inning eater game where he comes in and hopefully gets to work, 5, to where he can get kind of, like you said, get stretched out, feel his stuff, maybe do some, look at the lineup, try to do some work pre-hand and stuff like that and try to get himself ready to go for the game.
So Pat said he's going to name his kid Frankie, even though he's Irish.
I like it.
Top of the evening to you. Pat, I have to let you know, I don't know if you stopped by or not last week, but Nate filling in for me was so excited to meet you. And I think he did not get his wish, if I remember correctly. So.
Yeah, I gotta say, I don't remember seeing Pat.
Jeez, Pat. I'm kidding. I would say probably this is probably the week we see a lot of the guys get stretched out. So as much as you possibly can. We do have a TV game this week.
Ooh.
Tuesday.
What day? Tuesday? Okay.
Tuesday, 4 o'clock against the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Are they still called that, or are they just Los Angeles Angels? No, I don't know.
I'm gonna keep the Anaheim just because.
Yeah,
I think I like that.
I do too. I'm trying to see real quick if there's any other games that are on TV. No, doesn't look. Saturday's on TV. Yeah, the weekend of the NCAA tournament, the second round. People are gonna be
awesome.
Dying for spring training baseball to watch.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's dope.
And then their last spring training game is Sunday, also on TV, against the Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's going to be fun to see how this last week shakes out.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find some other news real quick we can dive into before we get to our next couple segments, because not a whole lot to work with this week. I'm not going to sit here and have this big freak out about Matt McClain not having a hit yet in spring training. Oh, duh. Yeah, I totally forgot. Justin Wilson signed after the Alex Young injury.
Oh, yeah.
So I really like Justin Wilson. I thought he was really good here before he got hurt and then ended up going to Milwaukee. Yeah. As far as this slate, in the offseason, getting ready in spring training, getting ready for the year, you get him as a lefty, I think that's a really good move. Like, I like hitting him a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I do like that. I think that, like you said, you bring up a great point. Getting him this late it's a lightweight steal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is.
Like, it's a really good move. So, yeah, I think he fits what we're trying to accomplish. And yeah, I like that pickup a lot. I like that pickup a whole lot.
I didn't have this in the chat, in the fill-ins this week, guys, so I apologize that I'm using my phone right now. It's probably not very professional. but Justin Wilson, in 26 games for the Reds, had a 2.75 ERA, which is pretty nice. Let's see. And then 72 in the third innings, only gave up 63 hits, only 5 home runs, and let me see real quick. 1 home run and 21 strikeouts. So pretty solid. Again, so
he was really solid.
Got him at the deadline in 21. Mm-hmm. With Luis Sessa. I can't remember who they traded to the Yankees for them, but ended up being, I think Sessa the reliever obviously was far more enjoyable than Sessa the starter, who had a 10 run first inning against the Phillies last year. And lost his job. But yeah, as far as like I said, at this point, that's a really nice get. I mean, he's been in the league, in the majors for so long, 3.40 ERA. Joey Gaditza asks, is Sam Moll expected to miss significant time? I don't think so. I think this is more the Alex Young situation, if I remember correctly. Which, I thought Alex Young was fine in spurts last year. He had his ups and downs like any reliever does, but hopefully Sam Moll is not in any serious situation. Has he and Jabeau came back yet? I don't think he has either.
I have not seen anything on Ian Jabeau.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when your whole team gets hurt in spring training.
Right?
nothing for the Buck Farmer had an inning today with 2 strikeouts, by the way, in case you're wondering. So there's that as well. But I'd like that. I think that's a good gift for this point of the year for sure. So it is St. Patrick's Day, and I wanted to just kind of pay homage. For those who know me, know that I love uniforms. I'm a very big uniform critic. So I wanted to talk about the greatest St. Patrick's Day uniforms of all time. And I know the Red Sox have their green jerseys, but nah, they ain't these. We're going to pay some love to the 1978 spring training uniforms that the Reds wore on St. Patrick's Day. Obviously, they've broken out the green hat in years past. They've even broken out, these colored jerseys. They've had Irish Heritage Nights in the past during the season, which are cool, where they've worn green hats. But these are just incredible. The Big Red Machine pullover is always fantastic. It's one of my favorite jerseys of all time. And the green hat, just the green outline, the green piping on the sleeve, just chef's kiss in beauty of a baseball legit jersey. Yeah. I need a Joe Morgan one of these.
Oh man, that would be sick.
Yeah,
that would be sick. No, I always like when they do, you know, St. Patrick's. I'm a big fan of the themed jerseys for some reason. I really do like those. So especially this one, like you said, the green piping. You know, Johnny had the little green, little short, long, like the little half long sleeve on, like with the hat. Yeah, I like that. I like that look.
Yeah, I think tonight they had a green hat, which is kind of cool. Now, I've always liked the hats in the past, but they've even had the green jersey with the Reds cursive that everyone hates. Mm-hmm. I don't love that as well. But yeah, I think that that's kind of, you know, like always, the Reds started something that everyone tries to copy now. Yes, Boston Red Sox, I'm talking about you with your green jerseys. Pat says he has a tear in his green beer from looking at these jerseys. What beer are we drinking for St. Patrick's Day there, Pat? This is an important answer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's important to know. I feel like we need to make sure we get the details on that. Hey, I did want to shout this out real quick. The show is going pretty quick tonight, I know. But next week, for opening day, so that Thursday from 1 to 3, me and Joe Farfsing here at the Riverfront are going to be joining our good friend Jeff Trenopol at Strawberry Ice for his live show at Moorline on opening day downtown. So if you're in the area, come stop by, come see us, come hang out with us, have a beer with us, buy a beer for us. We won't stop you. But we will be there. I'm actually not going to the game this year. Pretty bummed.
Really? But
yeah, man. Got priced out.
Did you really? Dude. Yeah, I tell you what, I didn't even look because, I mean, I'm priced out. My price out's pretty low, so I didn't even look to even venture to see.
Yeah,
I'm assuming you'll do the parade and everything.
As much as I can, I'll do. So yeah, I'll probably hang out for the parade, depending on what time that is. I'm gonna go Sunday. I got to make sure I see Nick Senzel in his return series. You know, he might go 2 for 4. You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he might hit a homer. Hopefully not, because it's not on it for us anymore. But we will. I will definitely be there supporting our guy. Speaking of supporting our crew, our guy made his Toronto Blue Jays spring training debut today. Saw one pitch in the whole game and went yardo. And yes, I'm bringing up a picture of him for those who are not watching on YouTube. Joey Votto, one, not wearing 19. Two, not wearing red, which is weird, and obviously in a Blue Jays jersey. So, look, I think we're going to probably do this a lot. We're going to probably recognize what he's doing over there in his homeland. And so I wanted to make sure we gave a shout out today. Apparently, literally saw one pitch, hit a homer against the Phillies. It was reviewed because they didn't believe it was a home run. It bounced off somebody in the crowd.
I did see that, yeah.
And then twisted, no bad injury apparently, but hurt his ankle in the dugout, so did not come out to play the rest of the game.
No, I did not hear that part.
Just, you know.
Wow.
Nothing severe, they said, but but obviously Joey Votto still bangs.
Yes, he does. Mm-hmm. Yes, he absolutely does. It's crazy to watch that. I mean, because it was prototypical Joey Votto. It was a fastball that he kind of leveled up. He hit it almost dead center, almost oppo. And it was just vintage, just Joey Votto. So it was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, it was. And I absolutely loved it. I'm going to be rooting. I guess the Jays are going to be my second team this year when he's on the big league roster. I would love to have been able to go up to the series in August. I know our native Canadians who check out the show are making a big Riverfront hangout up there, which is awesome. We really appreciate you guys for doing that. I'm sorry I can't be there, but for the Reds Blue Jays series, I've actually never. Have you been there?
To Toronto?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. I've not been to Toronto. I think the farthest I've gone is on the Niagara Falls side of Canada.
Yeah, like, I was on the U.S. side.
Yeah, like that's probably about as far as I've gotten. I mean, that's about it.
It's
no, that's wrong, because I don't know what is across from Detroit. That's
Is that Ontario?
Yeah, it might be Ontario. I think we crossed over there one time because there were some casinos we could go to.
Joey Gaudizza, we need your expertise on this. Yeah, Canadian expertise.
Yeah, but we did that for a little bit. It wasn't very long, but we were over there for a minute.
He says Windsor.
Okay, Windsor. There you go. Yeah, so we Windsor. We did that for a minute, and then it came back. But yeah, that's my only little experience in Canada.
Yeah, never been. So I'm going to have to make a trip. I really want to because I think it's probably extremely expensive. But I really want to stay in the hotel in the stadium.
Oh, yeah. I bet it is expensive. I bet that's a pretty penny.
That's probably like a once in a lifetime situation.
Yeah.
Says the guy who goes to Disney World every year. But... Yeah, what am I talking about? Yeah, we'll go this year, but we're not going back for 6 weeks.
For 6 weeks, right. I'm pretty sure you got a season pass, the Disney World.
I should.
Good diesel hill. It's expensive.
I bet it is. Oh, man. Yeah. Why couldn't they come here this year? We could have just seen Joey here, you know?
Oh, that would have been. I don't know if my heart's ready for that, though. Like,
yeah.
Like I am fine watching him. I'm fine watching him from afar, and it's cool to see his success. But dude, I don't know if I could handle hearing his name as a visitor in Cincinnati. Like that would be really hard for me. That would be tough.
I get it. I felt that way when Seattle came to town this year and Luis Castillo got his TV video. Not so much. I mean, I love Gino, but not so much Gino. Not that I don't love him and didn't think he was awesome here. I was thinking about this, seeing him in that uniform, just like weird when like Reds players went other places. Eric Davis in Baltimore was one that took a bit for me to get used to.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely weird. Like, and I know Joe Morgan was an Astro before, but it just doesn't look right.
Yeah.
Like you're like, ugh, like he was an Astro. Right. Like you're like, ugh, that is ugly.
Not only that, he was a member of the Colt 45s.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
So I'm like, ugh, like, nah, I don't like that.
The Giants jersey is a weird look for him as well.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Didn't love that. Reggie Sanders playing for the Padres. Didn't like that.
No. Yeah.
No one was weird. No. Trying to think, someone today I saw this on Twitter today or X, whatever it's called these days. Someone's talking about this, and someone brought up Ken Griffey Sr. for the Yankees,
yeah.
Which I guess he was like really good there. So,
yeah, he did. He had a couple of really good seasons there.
Yeah, it's just I don't know, man. There's so many like, guys just come and go so much but.
Or the first time seeing Cueto as a Giant,
I don't like that at all. No,
I don't like that.
2012 is just in the back of my head, and I'm like, if he doesn't get hurt in that series, and
did not like that.
I didn't either. Joey did ask this question. I'll make sure we get to it, and it's heading into opening day. Where's your vibe meter set out of 10? With the injuries at present, I'm a solid 7.5.
Mm.
7.5's probably around average where the fan base is probably at right now, just because of the injuries and the suspension. I think I'm at like an 8. I've been pretty enthused with what I've seen overall on the field from spring training. I think Ellie has definitely been something who's really jumped out as how much you can see his improvements. Now, again, half of those at bats are probably against AAA guys and stuff like that, and I respect that. But still pros out there that you got to try to beat that also have a job to do as well. So I feel good there. I think the team is good. I mean, if you look, 1 through 8, I feel comfortable. I believe Tyler Stevenson is getting back to Tyler Stevenson ways, and Luke Maley is like, I can hit guys, I promise. And it's like, oh, he can hit. So I will probably say I'm probably about an 8. 8.5. I'm too optimistic for this.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah. Yeah, I would probably be right in the middle. I'm not 7.5, but I'm not 8 yet. So I'm like probably like a 7.8.
Okay.
So I think that, I mean, I think our depth is being challenged a little bit with the Friedman injury, and Marte being suspended. We still have a couple of relievers that are fighting their way back from injury. But our, I mean, like you said, if you look 1 through 8, actually 1 through 10, I mean, I kind of count Luke Maley as being one of the guys. You know, I mean, if you look at 1 through 10, I think we're as good as anybody.
Yeah.
I think our biggest, and it's going to sound crazy, but I think our biggest question mark, it's not even really a question mark, it's if these guys can pitch to what we think our level is going to be. So if Hunter Green goes out and is Hunter Green, then we're going to be like, yeah, we're in a good spot. If Montas pitches like Montas, great. You know what I mean? If Abbott and Graham or Abbott and Ashcraft come in and they're still doing the things that they were able to do, if freaking Nicola Dolo is Nicola Dolo,
yeah.
I mean, gosh dang, like you know, I think that we have as solid of starting pit, and that's not even counting Martinez. Like we have as good too, a starting so. Pit. Yeah, I was going to say. But we have as good of a starting rotation as anybody in the majors if they perform like we think they're going to perform. So if those guys come out and do what we think they're going to do, I think, you know, I would be a solid 8, 8.5. You know, but there's a big – that's a big if because of you know, what the expectation is. And I think that's because our expectation is so high. Mm-hmm. Because we know what the potential of this team can be with everybody in that lineup and everybody in the pitching staff and everybody that we've brought into the bullpen and the guys that we have. And you know, if we're able to execute that, we'll be right where we think we're going to be. And that's in the playoffs competing for a World Series.
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, guys, we ran through all our topics and we normally go an hour. So we have like 24 minutes that we can to fill here. So if you have questions, we will happily take them.
Yeah, come on in. The water's fine. You know what
yeah.
I mean? The water is fine.
Or else we're going to just keep talking about Reds and weird jerseys for, I don't know. We'll cut early if we have to. We're just saying that we budgeted for this.
Well, I didn't get a chance to ask you last week because you weren't here, but what are your feelings on Hunter Green not being the opening day starter?
It doesn't really bother me in the sense that I know there's some people who've kind of had the uproar about it, but like I said earlier, I think of opening day starter for the Cincinnati Reds as more of an honor than a strategy. So... Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think it's this, like, I think if you had told me either one, I'd have been happy and been okay. I don't really get hung up in that except for that one weird year Jason Marquis was the opening day starter, but that's because the team wasn't good and they didn't try to be good. So that was the only reason I was upset then. But yeah, I think that's fine. I don't think, you know, if it's something where Hunter Green really wanted it. And I think when you guys talked about it, you guys made a great point in the sense of like, maybe he really wanted to be the name starter. He sees this as like, all right, then like, let's like, I'm that kind of guy that's going to motivate me. Great. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Go out and be HG21 and we're set. So yeah, I don't think it was a huge deal to me. I'm not overtly upset either way. I would have been content either way. So I think it'd be cool. And you know, Montas is a guy who, is also if someone has a lot to prove coming off of his Yankee stint. So
that plus, makes sense.
It's not like the Nationals are good. It's not like it's like, you know, right. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They have good players, but like, I love Lane Thomas. I wish he was playing for the Reds. That's like, if I could take one guy from another team and put him on the Reds, he'd be on the list for sure.
Yeah. He's legit.
And I like CJ Abrams a lot. I think he has a lot of great future. That deal, the Padres Nationals deal for the Juan Soto trade, is always gonna be one of those trades when you look back and you're like, that was weird. Just because I've seen that Juan Soto's playing for the Yankees. That's fair. So it's gonna be, that's a goofy one. Should we mention the weirdness of Aroldis Chapman's week?
Do we just let that ride? I don't know if I feel comfortable. It was so cringe.
Yeah.
Like just thinking about it, like I don't even cringy. Like I don't know. Like I guess we can mention it. Listen, I'm gonna be honest with you. If you haven't seen it, don't go.
Don't look it up. Yeah.
It's really just strange and awkward, and I don't know. I just don't do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just don't do it. But I'll just leave it at that. It was
awkward, we can leave it there.
Just not good at all. Good at all.
We all love our moms, but there's a line.
Yeah, there, correct. We all do. I mean, we definitely do. There's a line you don't cross. There's a line We just don't go there. So,
and back to Reds wearing awkward jerseys. Let's start with Jason LaRue in Kansas City.
There you go. Oh man. Yeah. It's wild. It's wild. That was definitely one of the stranger things I've seen on the internet. And it's just one of those things too. Like, you're like, dang, it always happens on X. Dang, why is he turning? Somebody die? You click on it, you're like, oh gosh, I wish I wouldn't have clicked on it.
Can I take that out of my search browser?
Yeah, I was like, delete. Like, I can't.
You can't unsee it, folks. You can't unsee it.
No, not at all. Not at all. So I do have a question for you. So are you concerned with Matt McClain?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay. I was going to say the same thing.
If he's doing this in like the end of May, yeah, probably not excited. But
yeah,
man, he's, you know how I feel about him. I think he's the dude. Like,
yep.
I think he's Nash League Altuve. That's his future. Absolutely. So
I agree.
Yeah, I'll have a Matt McClain jersey when Nike gets these things figured out. I don't know. I'm not worried about Matt McClain. I think that he'll be fine. Think he's gonna have a big year still. He's probably, mm-hmm. like you've said, he's kind of the cog in the wheel. So
yeah,
I'm excited for his season for sure. What was I gonna ask you? We could probably wrap here in a minute, but want to make sure we kind of touched on everything. Did we get to it all? I think we did.
Yeah.
All right. So with that being said, since we haven't had any, we didn't get any other questions. That's all right. You guys came to hang. We had a pretty big concurrent views today. There were, 200 people hanging out today. So thank you all.
Love to see you guys, man. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Means a lot. We'll be here every Sunday through the season. Let's see, April 7th, Seth has agreed to fill in for me that day, but you'll have me the rest of the, I got to figure out who's going to fill in when in July. Are you taking off WrestleMania weekend too? Or are you going to, hang out?
I probably will take off WrestleMania. Is that
April 7th? Yeah.
So, April 7th. Yeah. We'll be off that. Yeah. I'll probably be off that day too.
Okay. I'm sure Joe will probably fill in. So we'll get Seth and Joe to kind of hold it down. We have a lot of fun stuff going on here on the riverfront. So we got the Bengals show, who had a really, really good show this week with free agency. T. Higgins news coming out. Everyone had me on the edge of my seat this week that Justin Jefferson was coming to town. What was that about, everybody?
Listen, hold on. Hold on. I didn't know who you guys were even talking about in our text group. Because you're like, Jay Jettas. I'm like, who the heck is Jay Jettas? I'm like, I don't even know who that is. So I had to go through. I'm like, who's Jay? I'm like, Justin Jefferson? I'm like, holy crap. Is he really here? So then I had to go back through all the Twitter stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like maybe he isn't freaking Jeff Rubies. Who knows? I mean, he might be. They said he was at Kenwood Mall. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, he does. I mean, he knows Chase. I mean, he could be.
That was like a fun 3 hours on social media.
It was.
Like, is this happening? Is this real? Are they really going to pay the cap half their salary to three guys and fill in the rest? Like,
I mean, why not? Why not? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know if that's really, you know, in the NBA, you can get away with that, but not so much in the NFL when you got to carry 56 guys on a roster. Yeah, man, but
you ain't lying. You're not lying about that.
I need to be on the Bengals show this week with Joe because I just need to go through the whole story, the history of Justin Jefferson and the Bengals.
Oh yeah,
apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah,
according to sources.
That was crazy. I was like, was this real? Like, because it was like, once Jamar put that thing out, I was like, they can't mess with us. Like,
yeah, don't mess with us like that. That'd be crazy. I do have a question for you. One more before we get out of here.
That's fine.
So do the Reds sign anybody knowing that Friedel's going to be out 3 to 4 weeks? Do they make a move, try to bring somebody in, bring somebody up? Is there somebody that you think could fill that spot for 3 to 4 weeks where they can get a little relief in the outfield with Friedel being down for up to a month?
I hate to say it, but I think Josh Harrison might be making the team now.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say I hate to say it. That's not fair to him. But I just didn't think it's the best situation if you broke camp and he was on the big league roster. I guess Tony Kemp's an option too. Not that I'm in love with that either. But knowing how they kind of – granted, I shouldn't say that because I didn't think they'd sign Justin Wilson the way they did. But also he has ties to the organization. He's been here before. Mm-hmm. So that certainly helped. Maybe. I don't necessarily know who's all out there. I don't really want them to sign like a Sean Figgins type or anything.
Right. Yeah.
I would love to
shout out Sean Figgins.
Yeah. I know Sean Figgins really is not.
Hey, Sean Figgins, if you're listening, holler at your boys.
He's like, why am I catching strays? He's like, what did I do? I haven't played for years.
I know. He's like the Gary Owens of. He's like, why am I out here? Why am I catching strays? I'm just Sean. I'm out here living my life, raising my kids. You know?
Doing my thing. Let me be.
Doing my thing. Let me live. You know what I mean?
I think they're probably going to kind of see what they have internally. So I don't know, man. I hope not. I hope there's an option out there. Jim Stackhouse, is Brandon Williamson going to be okay? Great question. I still think he's too talented to be bad. I just think that he's just too good. So I think he'll be all right. Now, can we get a little bit more out of him? Sure. I know a lot of people, again, we're looking at 11 innings right now of spring training ball. So I'm not freaking out just yet. I mean, the guy did 117 of them last year, had a 1.28 whip. So I'm pretty confident he'll be fine. I just don't know the role he's going to be in. I don't know if they'll, at the moment, they probably do have to probably have him as a starter. But if it's between him and Nick Martinez and they're going off spring training, I would think Nick Martinez won that last spot in the rotation. Yeah. So we'll see there. I just think he's too good. He's a major league pitcher for sure. Yeah. So it just depends on what kind of role he's going to play for the Reds. So I think he'll be fine. I don't know if I could have answered anyone.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. I think that he's, like you said, I think he's a major league pitcher. And I think whatever role you put him in, I think he'll have some success.
Yeah, I do too. Hey guys, by the way, I want to make sure I make an announcement. If you're checking out the show as well, and check out Red Leg Roundtable here on the feed. Seth Shaner is doing an awesome job. Just had Scott Williamson on.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious. Such an awesome, awesome interview. That was so good. So make sure you check that out. And then coming up opening day week, one of the grand marshals of the parade hanging out on the riverfront, Mr. Pokey Reese, 1999 oh, yeah. National League Gold Glove second baseman. Ever heard of him?
Yeah, good dude.
I'm stoked for that. I told Seth I really wanted to be on that interview, but then he recorded it without telling me. So we've got some hurdles we got to go over together, me and Seth, after
yeah,
that.
But, yeah, yeah.
Hey, Jim, thank you for that. I appreciate it. We definitely appreciate the listen.
Yeah, all right, awesome. Man.
I think we got it all. I think we're getting ready now. I know we're going to be putting some more stuff together as we get closer to opening day, some fun stuff for everybody. So hopefully you guys are hanging with us through the year. We're so excited, obviously, as much as you guys are. Keep tuning into everything we're doing here at the Riverfront. This is a long off season. We could not wait to get to where we were because there was so much excitement. But on behalf of Ben, this is Tim Daniel. Thank you all for tuning in as always. Have a good night, and we will see you guys next Sunday.